I think it's always good to be able to take a look back over to where you've been before you can see where you want to go. And just as the president will have a State of the Union address to talk about what that state is in, then you also, I think, as a pastor, want to give a State of the Church address to say, how are we doing and what happened in 2008? Let's rejoice with those things, and then let's take a quick look at where we want to go in 2009. It was in 2002 when we presented a vision to the church. But first of all, I want you to see what our mission is as the church. And we as a church approved this. And it says, our mission is to glorify God in worship, to reach people with His truth and love, and to equip believers to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And so everything that we do, we try to build around those three things, okay? And so we're going to glorify God in worship. We want to be able to do that. And we want to reach people with God's truth and love. But then we also want there to be discipleship, to where we build up followers so they can be committed followers of Jesus Christ. In 2002, we presented to you a vision, which we called our 2010 vision. And on that 2010 vision, 7 years ago, we said that by the time we reach the year 2010, these are the things that we'd like to see happen. First of all, we said we would like to see missionaries from Shades Mountain Baptist Church serving in all 24 of the time zones. If you look on a map, you will see that what we've done is we have covered 15 time zones to where we have full-time workers, and we have another 3 time zones to where we've had short-term workers and short-term teams that have been a part of it. So out of 24 time zones, we have covered 18 time zones around the globe. Now, I've sat down with Jeremy, and we've looked at the other time zones, and most of those have got like maybe one or two islands in them. Now, we're a couple of them that are makeable, but I think one of them's even got Gilligan's Island in there. I mean, it'll be a challenge to do that, but we're going to go as far as we can as God allows. But that's just incredible to know that 18 time zones have been covered over these last 7 years. We said that by the year 2010, our desire was to plant churches in all 11 of the International Mission Board regions. Our International Mission Board took the world, take away America, and it took the world, and they broke it into 11 regions. As you can see from the map, we have covered 9 of those regions. We have planted churches in Peru, in Russia, in Thailand, many churches in Cuba, many churches in Zambia, many churches in Ethiopia, and recently a church in San Sebastian, Spain, and also some secure area churches that we can't tell you, but it's there on the map, that we have had an opportunity to be a part of. So there's just 2 areas left. And if you look over there, one of the areas you see is India. And we have a man that will be here, Dr. A.K. Lama, will be with us in our GIC. And we're going to be working with him to see if we can get that church plant. If you look over there in West Africa, that's where Jim and Laura Williams, our 2010 missionaries, are. We have a team scheduled to go out there in the fall and hopefully to work with them and to plant that church and to see if we can cover those last 2 regions. A part of our 2010 vision is that we would perform mission work in all 50 states of the United States. Mission work. That means you put time, you put energy, and you put finances in there. At this point in time, when you look at the map, we have 41 states that have been covered so far, which leaves us with 9 states. And some of you are looking out there saying, well, do you have plans for that? I'm so glad you asked, because let me just cover some for you right now. First of all, Utah. In March 2009, Gary Harvey and his Sunday school class are heading out to Utah. Hawaii, yes, Hawaii. In May 2009, Keith Habermas is going to be taking a team out there on a construction project to Hawaii. The next state that we have is North Dakota. In June 2009, Jerry Harris and the senior adults are heading up to North Dakota. Now, I know what you're going to say. Man, Jerry's been here 30 years. He goes North Dakota. Keith's been here a short while. He goes to Hawaii. Go figure. I don't know. That's the way God moves. Who knows on that? Then all of a sudden, you've got Delaware. In Delaware, in 2009, Richie Bruce and his Sunday school class are heading over to Delaware to take care of that state. Colorado. If you look in July 2009, Susan Stevens is taking a team that will go to Colorado, and they are going to begin to do work there. Then we also have West Virginia. In the summer of 2009, Kathy Lane is going to be coordinating a team there. It could be a construction, we're looking, but they'll be taking a team to West Virginia. That leaves a question mark on 3 states: Wyoming, Nebraska, and Vermont. I checked the football schedule. Wyoming and Nebraska don't play. I was hoping we could knock them out in one game, but no. Wyoming, Nebraska, and Vermont. And what is exciting to know is that we have representatives working with the North American Mission Board who are missionaries in those three states. They will be with us at our GIC. And so I want you to begin to be praying about and thinking about maybe your Sunday school class wants to partner with these people and say, hey, we'll knock those out. We'd like to take those last three. So those are the last three states that we're working on trying to get commitments on. Number four is adopt a strategic focus city. We adopted New York City. It was a program a number of years ago called New Hope New York. We adopted the city and specifically the New Brunswick, New Jersey area, which was a part of that. And we were able to plant a church in accordance with that ministry. Our fifth goal was that we would plant at least five churches in the United States. And I'm excited to tell you that we have planted seven churches in the United States. And that means putting some time and some money to them. And those five churches that we had, do we have those five church pictures up over here, Brian? There we are. All right. First of all, just to remind you, we had the downtown church, which is our first one. We planted on the south side of Birmingham. Andrew Jenkins is their pastor. The second is Iglesia Cristiani Agape, a Hispanic church. Pablo Moscoso is our pastor there. Third is the Point Church at New Brunswick, New Jersey, and Kevin Pounds is the pastor of that church. Then Grace Point Church up in North Las Vegas, Nevada, with Devin Hudson as the pastor. North Valley Church, which is in Margaret, Alabama. Chris Crane's the pastor. We helped them as they began the second location. Then the Westport Church in Hillsboro, Oregon. Hard for a Southerner to say that. Paul Fleming is the pastor. And then the latest one was our own Jay Watson, who went to the Life Community Church up in Nolensville, Tennessee. So those are seven churches that we have invested in those, and especially the one in Nolensville. We've sent some of our people up there, and they helped work with him during the summer. And so that's been a wonderful partnership with that church. And then our goal was to plant at least one church in Canada. Canada had a 2020 vision that they would plant 1,000 churches. I contacted them and said, we'll take one of those, and we did. And it's a church that is entitled A Place Called Hope up in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, and the pastor is Scott Dollar. So when you take a look at 2010 vision, we're making some great progress. And now it's 2009, so we've got one more year. And so you see the progress we're making, and it's exciting to see what God is doing. Now, that's kind of the graph. So what about our going? Which I always think is so important, because the reason for doing this vision was to get our people, you and me, out of the pews and outside the walls of the church and being able to touch the lives of other people. In 2008, we took 18 international projects with 225 people. There were also another 24 projects with 48 people. Those other projects were ones either through other churches or other through mission sending organizations, and we had another 48 people got involved with that. In North America, we had 16 projects and 494 people that were involved in those. And then in the month of April, we did the Serve the City, where we went and we just transformed the schools at Tarrant of painting and construction and fixing them up from the elementary school all the way up through the high school. We had 1,400 people that were involved in that. And so just you total those projects together, we had 59 mission projects and 2,167 people that were involved in mission. And see, that is wonderful. I think you should give a hand. I think that's wonderful. All you have to do is go on the news or read in the paper where they attack mega churches, which whether you like it or not, we are one. And they'll say, oh, they just care about themselves and they build their buildings and they make things nice and just stay within here. Well, that's just not true. And so over 2,000 people outside the walls of our church, touching others, doing mission work. And that's just flat out incredible. But you see, that is just kind of touching the hem of the garment. I could be up here for hours, and I know you'd love for me to just tell you about the things that are going on that are happening with individual classes and individual people, of how lives are being touched. We have a class, a Sunday school class, that will do steak dinners for the cancer patients at Hope Lodge every year for Valentine's Day. And so for their Valentine's Day, they're going to give to others who are going through difficult times, have a steak dinner, something nice for them. We have classes that are helping with our military to be able to bring in items of needs, and especially when we were doing the fundraising for the military Bibles. We've got one class that spends a lot of time working with Save-A-Life, and they do a number of things with them, and I get letters from Save-A-Life constantly telling me how thankful they are for the Sunday school classes that have done work with them. We have one Sunday school class that helped raise money for the Big Oak Ranch. We've got our missionaries in training, which are our like first graders through fifth graders. And what they did was during Christmas time, they went out, and not only did they sing Christmas carols, but they helped people. They helped widows put up Christmas trees. They helped singing at nursing homes. We even took our preschoolers, and they went and sang at a nursing home and just sort of had a little Christmas party for those residents that are there. There's just so many things, and there's things that I'll get a note on, and usually it will not come from the class, but it'll come from the person who was the beneficiary of some type of ministry that took place. And nothing makes my heart prouder as your pastor to see that our people are out touching the lives of other people and they're ministering to them. So what we show up here on these graphs, it's just a broad brush. There is so much ministry that's happening underneath that's incredible, and I thank you for that. So that is our going. Well, then the next thing you need to look at is our giving. Everyone needs to look and say, well, how you doing with the money and what's going on? Well, first of all, our giving. Our budget goal was $6,900,000. That was our budget this last year. And you know what? We were tracking pretty good till around September. Some things started happening in the economy, and things did get a little difficult. But let me tell you where we gave. Our actual giving to our budget was $642,500. Now, that's 96% of our budget was made. Now, we didn't spend all of our budget. We were good managers. We were wise in underspending some. But there was a $257,500 shortfall in our budget and in our actual. But we used the same model as Joseph did in the book of Genesis. And if you know, in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was the number two man, they said there'll be 7 years of plenty and there'll be 7 years of famine. He said, let's save up a lot so in case when the famine comes, then we're prepared. Well, we've had a number of overages over the last few years, and we didn't go out and just spend the money. We built it into savings. And just want to let you know that the budget reserve of last year, January 1st, 2008, we had $690,000 set aside in our budget to handle snow days, shortfalls, whatever would happen. So when we had a shortfall in our budget, what we did, we went to the budget reserve that we had set aside, and we took the money from that. Same thing you do in your planning on your own personal finances. And so we began this year with a budget reserve of $430,000. So I would say that financially we're beginning the year in an excellent position. Our budget is still $6.9 million, and we also have a reserve. We'd love that reserve to build up. Hopefully we can not only meet but exceed our budget this year, and we can continue to build on that number. So that was our budget. All the needs were met. Everything was covered, and your faithfulness throughout the years and this past year made that become reality. When you look at our giving, there are three major things we give to: our budget, make Jesus known, and every generation. Make Jesus known. Our goal for Make Jesus Known was $585,000. You blew the roof off of that. You gave $712,300. And so there's an overage of $127,300 for missions. We have a deacon finance meeting tomorrow, and we begin to talk about how do you handle those overages and what mission opportunities do we look to for that. So I thank you for that. And that's just, again, is the incredible heartbeat of our church. Every generation is all the construction that's going on around us that you see. And so the question is how well are we doing with that? And this year, in 2008, you gave $3,304,600 to Every Generation. Now, most of you out there have no idea if that's good or bad. And so let me share with you really how good that is. Brian Gunn did projections as to where he thought we would be. In fact, the way Brian did, I think he projected where we'd be every 30 seconds of every day for the next four years. You got it out for 10 years, I think, on there. And, hey, the plans you have for me at 68 are unbelievable. Thank you so much. It's amazing what you've projected for me. But he has projected. He used our Journey of Faith, which was our previous building program, and used the giving that came in there and said, if we track the same way, then we feel like that on December 31st, 2008, we should have received $4,537,200. That means we should have received 39.8% of our pledge, okay? We pledged about $11.4 million. 39.8% should have come in by the end of last December. Let me tell you what actually happened. The actual December, where we stand, our balance is $5,323,200, which is 46.7% of the pledge, which what that means is we're ahead of projections by $786,200, or 6.9%. So your generosity is incredible. And so with every generation, we're ahead. Whenever you're ahead in a building, it means you're saving money, because you're reducing interest and things you'd have to pay. And so you're doing incredible. So when you put all those figures together, what do you have? Well, last year I stood before you and said, our church gave more money to our missions and our ministries than have ever been done before. And it was a little bit less than $10.2 million. This year, you've gone way beyond that. And you gave this year $11,094,000 as your total giving. We're in the midst of a building program. Many times when people get in building programs, they say, well, missions will take a back seat because we're going to give to building. Even with all the money given to building, we again set a new record in giving to missions. And our missions giving was $1,996,400. And I think, is there a graph, which is 18% of our total giving? And can you put that graph up there for just a minute? And you can see each year it's grown, and we're at $1,996. Now, see, someone out there is saying, boy, if I'd just given like $3,400, we'd have had $2 million. I know, you would have. But we're right there, $1,996. That gives us something to shoot for next year. But looking at that, and then go back a graph to that one that says the 18%. Brian, if you can take it back. There you go. If you look back, 18% of total giving, which means that what we did this last year, for every dollar that came in, 18% of that went outside the walls of the church and went to missions. And so we always want to be around 18, 20%, somewhere in that range, just to keep that going and to keep that going out the window. So that is where we were in 2008. And I would hope you could give a praise God for what took place in 2008. And this, it really is, it is amazing. And I know that with the economy, I saw the headlines of the paper yesterday about the number of jobs are lost. And we know that these are challenging times in our economy. And I can share this with you, and I know Brian, and I know Keith can share this, and even Michael, as he's had to do a lot of work on a thing that's coming up in the next couple of months. We're in incredible shape as a church financially, compared to a number of others that are really going through some struggles. We need to pray for them and pray that God would continue to help them. There's been a lot of good planning, but then there's been a great faithfulness of the people. And so we're stepping out in faith and moving forward in this next year. And so I hope that at the same time you'll continue your faithfulness. We want to continue reaching people with the gospel and continue ministering. And so 08 was a great year. But what about 09? What is our challenge for 2009? I want you to look in your Bibles, open your Bibles to one verse of Scripture, and it's found in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Look again, you go right past the four Gospels and get to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24. In Acts 20, 24, it is the Apostle Paul saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And it's a tearful goodbye, and it says at the end that he just breaks down because there's such a bond he has with them. But in talking to them, he makes an incredible statement in verse 24, and look what it says. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Look at that for a minute. Look at that verse as you see it there. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself. Listen, what my life means, he says, it is nothing in comparison to my desire to finish my course and my ministry, the thing that I have been called to do. And he says, it's the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is to do this, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So he says, I want to finish. If you look that word up, the word finish means to accomplish, to complete, to finish the mission for which he had been called. As I looked at this passage, my challenge to myself and to you as a congregation is going to be twofold. Number one, be a finisher. Be a finisher. I thought I was going to preach this message in 2010, but as I talked to Jeremy, he says, you know, I think we can finish this 2010 vision in 2009, and when we get to our GIC in 2010, it can be a huge celebration that we've accomplished it. And so when I talk about being a finisher, it's two things. Number one, as a church in 2009, I want us to finish the 2010 vision. When this was shared in 2002, most of you, if you were sitting in the congregation at that time, thought I was crazy. I had some of you come up and tell me that. I mean, you love me, but you think I was crazy. And many people said, there's no way this can ever happen. I mean, we've got like two people out on the mission field, a total of about two families, about eight people out there. We've taken about eight mission trips a year. There's no way we can accomplish all of this. And now all of a sudden we're looking here, we're over 2,000 people been involved in missions. It's just incredible. But see, what I'd like for us to do is to do exactly what Paul said. And Paul says, hey, you know what I want to do? I want to finish it. And let's be a finisher. And let's wrap this up. Let's finish up the states. Let's finish up the church plants overseas. Let's get the time zones done. Let's go after it and let's just finish it. But when I talk about finishing, it's not just so that when you look up on the screen that we can add another blue state up there and high five our buddies. It's more than that. When you look on that map in the United States and you see 41 states that are blue states, you know what that means? That means that people have been led to Christ in all 41 of those states. It means that somebody's life has been changed for eternity. Not just somebody, but somebody's. Because there's every trip that has come back, there have been a number of people who've made decisions for Christ. When you look at that map and you see those blue states, it means that a number of people, hundreds of people, have recommitted their life. And they said, life's going to be different for me. When you look at those blue states, you will see people who say, I have now been challenged because I see what this church did from the state of Alabama that came to my state and did this ministry. I think we can do the same thing. And you have inspired and you have energized churches all around the United States. You see, that's why I want to finish this up, not just so that we can color in the boxes over there and say, hey, how about that? It's because every time you color in one of those states, we can look and say, people have made decisions for Christ. Lives have been changed because of what Shades Mountain Baptist Church right here in Birmingham, Alabama has done. And that fires me up. That's why I want us to finish the task. We want to finish that task. Now think about overseas. That's just exponential. You begin to think of the work when you talk about planting churches. And I think about the churches that have been planted in Cuba and Zambia and Ethiopia and all these other places in Peru. And you just begin to think of lives that have been changed and discipled and decisions for Christ. And when you look on that world map and you say, okay, we got this region, got this region, got this region. It means that Shades Mountain Baptist Church has taken some of its sweat and some of its finances and some of its talents and have placed them in this particular region around the world and have set a flag down for Jesus Christ. And people have made decisions. That, to me, is exciting. So I say, like Paul says, let's finish this thing up. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's finish it. But let me tell you the second thing, and this is where it personally comes. Personally, I want each one of us to be finishers. I want each one of us to be finishers. You know, there's something special about finishing something. Finishing is used a lot in sports metaphors. Once you start watching basketball games, and they'll say, hey, this guy's got a great move, does a good job, gets down to the basket. But once he gets to the rim, what does the announcer say? Then he needs to learn how to do what? Finish. And what does finish mean? It means score the goal. You can look pretty doing all those fancy moves and all that stuff, but if the ball doesn't go in the hoop, we didn't get any points. So you got to learn how to finish. Life has been compared to a marathon, which is a long run, ups and downs, aches, pains. But you know, the ultimate goal of a marathon, the ultimate goal of a marathon is not to see how cute you look in those little shorts, okay? The ultimate goal of a marathon is not to see how fast you'll run. The ultimate goal of a marathon is to do what? Finish. Finish. They don't give prizes for people that start. They don't come up to someone that dropped out at mile 15 and say, hey, great job, we're proud of you. You see, when you cross the finish line, once you cross the finish line, that's when the applause takes place. When I did that marathon in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and I got their medal, when I crossed that finish line, they took that medal, they put it over my neck, I took a look at it, and it says, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, marathon. At the very bottom of it, it said, finisher. Which in essence, they looked at me and said, you wouldn't get this if you didn't make the 26.2. But you finished. But you finished. You see, what my hope is that we'll all be finishers. This is exactly what Apostle Paul was talking about over here. He says, my life is almost of no account. Because what I want to do is I want to finish. That's the thing that I'm most concerned about. He says, my desire is that I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord. He says, I don't want to quit. He says, I don't want to let down my Lord. I don't want to let down those who've been supporting me. I don't want to let down those that believe in me or believe in my message. He was consumed with finishing strong. He had a sold out, single-minded desire to finish well. And it was because of the grace of God, and that motivated him to live for the Lord. And he says, because of what the Lord has done for me, how can I not want to do that for him? He says, it's because of the grace of God, and I think about what he's done for me. I'm going to do everything I can to finish and finish strong. He wasn't driven by legalistic works. He wasn't driven by somebody saying, oh, what a good job you did. He was driven by the grace of God. And he says, that's why I'm so adamant to finish this race. He says, because when I come face to face with the saving grace of God, I want to be able to look at him and say, I live for you and I finish strong and I finish the course. And he wants to finish his race testifying to the grace of God. Now listen, God's call is different in details and specifics on everyone's life here, but there is one consistency in that call. And that is that he desires faithful endurance from all of us. You finish a race one step at a time. And then you testify to God's goodness and of his grace, and you complete the course. It's a finisher. So I want you to be a finisher. You say, well, what do you mean specifically by a finisher? Well, let me tell you some things to finish. Finish taking down those nagging strongholds. Those things that have had a grip on your life, and you just keep allowing them to have that place in your life. Why don't you finish it? Why don't you say, I've started that battle? Well, go on and finish that battle and get rid of those nagging strongholds. Why don't you finish with the bitterness over some hurt that was inflicted on you years ago? Somebody did something that hurt you, and you're just holding on to it. Well, why don't you be a finisher and just go on and get it done? And go to that person and go to them and get it worked out. And if there's something that you've done wrong, ask for forgiveness. Repent and ask for forgiveness. And be finished with it. It's just holding on to, and it's dragging you down, and it's affecting everything in your life. Just be a finisher. And say, I want to go on and get that relationship restored. I want to finish all this bitterness and this little petty backbiting and all this stuff. I just want to finish that and get the relation back to where it needs to be. Finish your procrastination. My hope for you is that the 2009 year will be a nightmare for every procrastinator. And I'm one of them. I'm so looking forward to this year. No. I mean, I can procrastinate. And I'm going to be reminded over and over to say, hey, don't be procrastinating. Get it finished. You start something, let's finish it. Let's get that job done. Some of you just keep saying, well, I keep thinking I want to do a quiet time, or I think I'm wanting to read through the Bible. Well, finish all of those excuses and just do it. Let's finish that. Well, you know, I started reading through the Bible and I got to, you know, about Ezra or so. And okay, pick it back up from there and keep on going. Let's finish that. What are some things that you have started that you just haven't finished? Let this be the year that you finish it. For some of you, you've started thinking about trying to get out of debt. Finish it. Go on and make the tough choices and get out of debt. We talked about this in men's fraternity. I know this economy is not the best on changing jobs, but for some of you, it's time to maybe make a job change. You know you're not where you're supposed to be. You know it's driving you crazy. It's draining your energy. It's a pace that you can't handle. It's affecting all the relationships in the family. Maybe this is when you finish that complaining and you begin to set your sights on figuring out what it is that God really wants you to do. Take the bold step. And the last thing is just finish your whining. Maybe this is the year that you just stop your whining. Start doing all that whining stuff. We don't want to hear it. If you got something legitimate, come on, bring it on. Oh, I'll pray with you. I'll hug you. I'll love on you. But sometimes they're just things we whine about. Just finish the whining. And you know what? I've discovered in my own personal life, because I've been a champion of this, is if I took all the energy I did about whining about something and put it to making it come true, it's amazing. I could have nipped it in the bud a long time ago. Finish it. Be a finisher. Find out what it is this year, these things that are just holding on out there, and finish them and get them wrapped up. I will be starting a sermon series next Sunday on the book of Philippians. And we are going to walk together through that incredible book. And the book, the series is entitled An Unlimited Joy. Over and over, he's rejoicing and he's in some rough situations. And one of the things we'll provide for every person here is we are going to provide a CD that has a reading of the book of Philippians. And Brandy Burgess put her voice to this, and she's reading through it. Bobby Smith is playing some instrumental behind it. And it's something you can place in your car, and from the time you get from one location to another, you could listen to the whole book of Philippians and just listen over and over and over and let it feed your mind. Okay? And I promise you, we'll finish that book. All right? The second thing, the last thing I want you to do, the challenge for 2009, is be a testifier. Be a testifier. That means one that is willing to share the message of the gospel. It's a message of freedom, of forgiveness in the future. And see, Apostle Paul said down here, he says that his ministry is to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To be a testifier means that you are equipped to share and that you're willing to get involved in the lives of others and then earn even a greater right to share with them. Be a testifier. Doesn't matter how old you are. Rurik Wheeler, his Sunday school class, senior adults, they go down to the Jimmy Hale Mission. I think it may be once a month. They go down to Jimmy Hale Mission. When they get down there, they share a devotional that evening. Over the 12 months of 2008, they saw 92 professions of faith and 135 rededications. It's a senior adult Sunday school class being testifiers. We can do this. You can do this. Be a testifier. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the focuses of this year. We are still going to be concerned about our world. We're concerned about our country, and we're concerned about our state. However, with the uncertainty of our economy and the great needs that will be right around us, including even some inside our church, I want us to be especially prepared to respond and meet those needs. And so this year, you will see more and more emphasis on us focusing on some mission projects that we will have right here in our community and to meet the needs of those. Because as economic times come and as people get hit by those, we as a church need to be able to be like first responders to people that are hurting and going through difficult times. Some even sitting in these pews for us to be those that can help you. Others in other communities around here. We have a brochure that you can pick up as soon as you walk through these doors. You'll see them all over the church. And it's on the different mission trips that we have. We have some international, we have some United States, but we've also got some partnerships with some other people right here. We'll be working with Mission Birmingham. We're working with Empower. There's work that we've done with the Foundry. There's work that we'll be doing with the Love Lady Center. There are other things in this community that we'll do work with. And we will continue to expand our work in Tarrant to where we already started some work. And there's some ideas, a ministry idea was shared with me this week about building ramps for those who are handicapped and disabled in their homes who can't afford it. There's a number of things that we can do as a church. And so this is what we want to do. And so let me encourage you to be a finisher and to be a testifier. And that is one that is willing to share your faith. But in order to do that, you first of all have got to be willing to get involved in people's lives. I think that 2009, you're going to see people that are hurting more than ever. And when you see this hurt, we as a church need to have our hearts open and our hands open to say, we want to help you and do whatever we can. And when we begin to do that, then the church becomes a church and we're continuing to minister to the people in this community. And we're helping. And so as we go through a year, that if you read in the papers and you hear what everyone else says, it could be a difficult year. But you see, we're going to study the book of Philippians, who've gone through some difficulties and said, hey, you can rejoice in the midst of all of that. And we're going to get some handles on how we can handle 2009. But at the same time, my prayer is that every one of us will be one that will be a testifier and say, I want to testify to the grace of our God. And I want to be able to share that good news with other people. And if you do that, 2009 could be the greatest year you've ever experienced as an individual and could be the greatest year we've ever experienced as a church. Be a finisher, be a testifier. Let me ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the incredible blessings that you have given us, not just in 2008, but throughout the almost 100-year history of this church. But we pray right now that in this service, that you'll get a hold of our hearts and our heads and help us to be able to make the commitments to you that we need to for this year. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.